praise be to our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Now, these are the opening lines of a song by Simon and Garfunkel, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. It's a song that is saturated with the sins of consumerism and materialism and possessions, and the lyrics speak of these neon gods and words of prophets and advertisements that are written on subway walls. And all of that imagery invokes in the minds images of darkness, of consumerism. And it's presented against this backdrop of that darkness, of silent darkness. The song, as popular as it is, and the message, as unique as it might sound, isn't really all that unique. It's not an anomaly. There's other songs, there's other books, there's other movies and TV shows, and they all seem to cloak sin under this thick blanket of night, protecting what happens from being exposed to light. The dark is the place where sin just seems to grow. And in the shadows of this world, in the shadows of our lives, it seems to just thrive there. And we seek the cover of night and the security that it offers us. So we try to hide from the world, even from ourselves, those activities that we know we should not do, that we should not be participating in, those sins that we know we shouldn't be committing. We search for a way to justify our actions. We looking into the darkness to be the judge, to be that judge and the protector from the light. You see, it's not even just society that makes this connection between sin and darkness. It's the Bible even makes the same claims. I found just three examples. The first one was from Matthew chapter 6. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Or John chapter 3. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. And the last one was taken from Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Live not in darkness. That's what the Bible says. Expose the deeds that are done in the night. That's what it says. But sometimes it's just not that simple. At least it's not simple from our vantage point. Take, for example, Joseph in our reading tonight, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. You see, from his view, Mary, too, acted in darkness. She walked in the night. She sinned, and her sin would be exposed. Joseph was righteous. He followed the Jewish laws, and so divorcing her quietly would force him to keep the cover over her unfaithfulness, over her sinfulness. You see, he was in a difficult position. He was facing a choice of his own. Would he too enter into the darkness to try and protect Mary? Or would he stay in the light and potentially expose her? Verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. You see, in the cover of night, while he was sleeping, an angel spoke to Joseph, and he described for him the situation, not from earth's perspective, not from Joseph's perspective, but from heaven's perspective. He described the view from God's perspective, and he made clear that what transpired was not under the blanket of darkness and sin, but it was, in fact, under the brightness of light and holiness. See, into this cover of night, God sent an angel of the Lord to meet Joseph, to speak to him, and to bring him out of the darkness and into that light, God's light of truth. And 9 months later, Jesus was born. Under a blanket of night, he came. The angels from heaven followed, and they filled the night sky with God's light. And they announced to the world that the light, the true light, had come. So into the darkness of this earth where sin roamed freely, ruling the night unchecked, Jesus came. And he came into this world during the night as a symbol of what he would accomplish for all of God's creation. See, darkness entered the world through sin, but it would be defeated by Christ's light through his death and resurrection some 30 years later. Now, we've spent the last few weeks focusing on the lineage of Jesus. We've looked at some of the characters in that genealogy. We've looked at Rahab. We've looked at Bathsheba and David. And tonight, we focus on Joseph. It's a man who was trying to live in the light, but the circumstances of the world just kept tugging at him, trying to pull him into the darkness. And throughout the genealogy, all of these descendants of Jesus, they lived part of their life in dark, some more than others. Some started out righteous, later succumbed to the enticement of the night. Others lived their lives in the dark, but were led into the light by God. Regardless of the individual lives, one thing was constant. Jesus came through them. He came through their dark. Or maybe we could say, he came in spite of their dark to be the light in this world. John 12 says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And we look out of the windows of this church, and we look into the world, and we see dark. It exists in every corner of our lives, in every corner of the earth. It exists in our homes. It exists in our schools, in our communities. It exists in our hearts. And we strive to illuminate it with our own light. We try to evict the dark all by ourselves. But our attempts are made in the dark. They're made under that protective cover so that no one else will know what we're struggling with. No one will know what we're fighting. We tend to believe that if we can just solve our own sin problem, then we can finally live in the light. But tonight, Jesus speaks to us, and he tells us how wrong we are. See, living in the light doesn't mean to first discard everything that pulls us into the dark. Living in the light, instead, means calling out to Jesus from where we stand. It means exposing to him what has enticed us away from him. It means calling out to him from the dark. Jesus already knows how we ended up here. He's just waiting for us to know it too. He's waiting for us to realize that we cannot do it on our own. That we cannot fight the light without him. He's waiting for us to realize that there is no light in us. He's the light. He is the light. He is what destroys the darkness, that exposes the sin and offers us forgiveness and reconciliation. He's the light, and he comes to you. He comes to you while you are still in the darkness. And he seeks you. And he finds you. See, you don't move from dark to light. He removes the dark. Completely removes the dark. And he makes you light. He lives in you and you live in him. That's how you get rid of the dark. And this Christmas, we bring light to all areas of our lives as a reminder of this truth. We light our Christmas trees. We light our candles. We do all of this to proclaim to the world that Christ came into the world to be our light and to destroy our darkness. Hello, darkness, my old friend. And I'll never talk with you again. My God has come conquering, and he has found me wandering. And that darkness he's destroyed with the wooden cross and with the blood he lost. And this, my song of salvation. Please pray with me. No longer will you have